T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Friday. It's Friday. And we are out at Target Field getting ready for the big Twins game coming up this evening. And if you have tickets, even if you don't have tickets, you may want to wander over to Target Field, because this is the day that you were dreaming about back in mid-April when we were butt deep in snow with that blizzard. I mean, it just doesn't get better than it is right now. Blue sky, low humidity, little bit of a breeze, temperatures in the low to mid-70s, and it's going to stay this way, amazingly, right through the weekend. Next week it heats up a little bit, a little more humidity around, but man, weather the way it was meant to be. This is classic September weather, an atmospheric exclamation point, and this is what you expect in September. When those September brides, I should say June brides, call me up and say, "Paul, I'm having an outdoor wedding. Please keep the storms away, Paul." I try to talk them into a September wedding, because the odds of getting wet, the odds of running and screaming at an outdoor event are much, much less in September. We got off to a wet start, but Mother Nature atoning. And man, the next few days are going to be amazing. Coming up in the show at 4 o'clock, meteorologist Todd Nelson. I have the pleasure of working with Todd at one of the weather tech businesses I'm involved with called Predictix out in Eden Prairie. He's been working with me for 10 years, and he also works with the Minnesota Twins. The Twins have their own meteorologists on site for every home game to make sure there are no unpleasant surprises, to protect fans and players from lightning, from high heat indices. And they're doing something different than any other Major League Baseball franchise in the United States. So get to talk a little bit more about weather and preparedness and safety with Todd Nelson in the 4 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to Dr. John Wald in the 5 o'clock hour about the Mayo Clinic. Ken Burns is about to release a documentary on our very own Mayo Clinic, and he's going to talk about that and what the Mayo Clinic sports medicine practice is doing downtown. We also, in the 5 o'clock hour, talk about mineral rights, what's happening in the Boundary Waters. Mining companies now have gotten the green light when it comes to mineral exploration, some of the forest land right adjacent to the BWCA. We talked to an environmental reporter at the Star Tribune and hear both sides of that story, and we want to hear from you as well. First, don't want to bury the lead. One of my good friends, Mark Anderson, one of my dear friends, Mark Anderson, who I've known for a few years now, joins us out here at Target Plaza. Mark Anderson is the proprietor and co-owner of Gull Dam Brewery up in Nisswa. Mark, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate being on the show.
Now, you've done a lot of stuff, and that's one of many reasons why I admire you. You were a state representative for a number of years, right, from Wadena?
I was for 4 years, yes.
And then you got into beer. I don't blame you.
You know, beer led to politics. I think that's how it happened. Wife and I started that first, and then we did the political side.
Now, what? Every business has a creation story, and I'm always fascinated to hear those stories. What got you going? How did you ever for a moment believe that you could brew your own beer? And by the way, I'm biased. I love your beer, the raspberry wheat. I have dreams about your beer. It's so good. And this is not meant to be a free plug for Gull Dam Brewery, although it's kind of turning out that way. But I'm more interested in how you got this thing spun up. What got you started on the roadway to craft beers?
Well, neither of my wife and I, neither of us were into beer at all, except for just drinking it, consuming it. You know, I'm a pilot by trade. My wife owns a medical device consulting company, and we both just like craft beer. And one of our sons and his buddy had a home brewing kit. So we thought, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, and why don't we try it? So we started making some beer.
So you just started with one of these kits that anybody can buy?
Yes.
Really?
That's how fun it is. There are a couple of shops in town here. You can actually go out and buy the equipment. They have kits that you can make all different varieties of beer and then start experimenting on your own. And so what Barb and I were doing was just making some beer, and I would bring them on some of the private jets that I fly and let some of the people sample them. Well, the comments that we were getting were very, very favorable, and I just said to Barb, you know what? Maybe we ought to turn this into a business. And so we did.
So how did you get the capital to be able to do this? I mean, how did you raise money from friends and family? Did you inherit some money, or how did you take those steps to be? Because I know the equipment at the brewery is not cheap, right? I mean, we're talking a significant capital investment.
Well, that was the second part of this: putting together a business plan, and then the location. Well, you know, there's a lot of breweries that have come up here in the Twin Cities area. Barb and I know many of the owners. And we decided, well, let's do it somewhere up in northern Minnesota. I've had a place on Gull Lake for many, many years. I said, why don't we just do it up there? So another long story short, just even coming up with a name, the name of of our brewery, especially the locals up north, we've laughed about the Gull Lake Dam for years. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about it, but they don't call it the Gull Lake Dam. They call it the Gull Dam. And the road to get there is the Gull Dam Road. And I said, Barb, let's start Gull Dam Brewing. Now, for those listeners that are out there listening to this, those are two nouns. These are not swear words. Gull is just like a seagull. And dam is a three-letter word. You know,
there is an actual dam.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So we sell Gull Dam beer. And it's fun just even doing that.
Well, it's certainly memorable. And that's a big part of the battle, right? Branding and getting the word out. Do you worry at all about the amount of competition out there? It seems, I mean, we have no shortage of amazing beers and amazing breweries in this state now.
Well, that's true. There is a lot of competition right now. Barb and I, a couple years ago, when we were looking for a new head brewer, we got a phone call from a gentleman who we thought was interviewing with us, and it turned out that he was actually interviewing us instead of the other way around. And long story short, this guy came on with so much experience. He's been brewing in several continents. He's won gold medals on two continents in the world, and he's brewed at over 200 breweries all over the place. And he's a chemist by trade.
Ah, he's a mad scientist, so he likes to tinker. And that's the art is in the tinkering, right? Until you get it just the way you want it.
He is a master tinkerer. Just love it. He's done such a great job. You know, you bring up this raspberry wheat, and with Doug, with his background, told us that what a lot of people don't understand is that wheat and raspberry do not mix. And so he chemically worked on the formula for just the wheat beer and said that this is going to be a wheat beer that you're never going to want to sell outside on its own. It will pair well with this raspberry puree that we're using. And the proof is in the pudding. We've been just selling a ton of that this year.
2 minutes left. What advice do you have for aspiring entrepreneurs? There are a lot of people out there with great ideas. And what sage advice can you give somebody who's noodling an idea, wants to turn it into a business?
Well, that's actually pretty simple. The getting your business plan together as far as how big do you want to start, that's one thing. But the other thing that it usually is a roadblock is this thing called government. Now, Barb and I, we had a lot of hurdles to jump with the government. But once you get past those, because we did try to come up with a checklist for the Department of Agriculture so people wouldn't have these obstacles going forth. But that's the next thing, working with your state and local government to get all of your licensing and permits in a row.
What was the biggest? What keeps you up at night now?
Not too much. My flying is my passion, so that's my relaxation now. So the beer is the one side, and the flying is the other.
You've hired really good people, right? Delegating, knowing what you do well, but ultimately trusting people and delegating. You can't do everything. You're going to lose your mind, right?
I've got to say that we have a staff that is so well put together, and they just get compliments. So I give thanks again to all of our customers, too.
Stick around. I want to talk to you about aviation. I want to talk about your experiences up in the air and what people at home should know about flying. Just how safe is it? That's coming up, including Tim Lammers with a couple of movie reviews. That's next on CCO. And that was a clip from The Nun, which is out, and I'm curious to hear more. Luckily, we have Tim Lammers with us to talk about this movie. Hey, Tim, greetings.
Greetings, Paul. Do you like scary movies?
I'm sorry, say again?
Do you like scary movies, Paul?
Oh, yeah, it depends.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a couple ways of approaching them. A movie like The Nun, which, first of all, is the fifth movie in the Conjuring universe. The Conjuring was a horror movie that came out a few years ago about real-life demonologists that were involved in the Amityville Horror and the Enfield Haunting. And then there were spin-off characters from those films, and one of them was The Nun, which is actually not a nun, but evil that takes shape in the form of a nun. And okay. It's the sort of movie that, if I'm watching it home alone, it freaks me out. If I'm in the theater where everybody collectively is jumping and laughing to break tension, or if they're shrieking, that to me is a fun movie experience, and that's exactly what you get with The Nun.
By the way, I want to mention Tim Lammers' movie review is brought to you by Bradshaw & Bryant Personal Injury Attorneys, seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Now, so this is going to freak me out the next time I go to Mass with my very Catholic wife and I start looking at nuns and going,
Well, hopefully it's going to make you have a greater appreciation for your faith, because obviously the nun, there's a young nun that's investigating this occurrence at this remote abbey, along with a priest who is dispatched from the Vatican. It has that sort of exorcist feel. But believe me, Paul, there's a lot of praying going on to get rid of this evil. So again, you know, you can feel safe knowing that, you know, there's a lot of faith involved in this, and they're doing their best to get rid of evil.
But don't bring your six-year-old.
Do not bring your six-year-old. This is an R-rated movie. You know, though, it's the sort of movie that, yes, it has gore, and I think that's what merits the R rating, but they rely on tension. They rely on atmosphere. They rely on tone. You see, you know, the fog rolling across the graveyard with the full moon and that sort of thing. I love that sort of thing. I mean, it's a really... Odd enough to say, a beautiful picture from that regard, because again, it's just the sets are immaculate. It has this Victorian feel to it. So yeah, the bottom line is it's a very scary movie. So don't bring your kids.
Okay, all right, and let's cue up movie number two. Ah, yes, The Pride of Pittsburgh.
That's
Mr.
right,
Mr. Rogers,
Paul.
And those words
WQED in Pittsburgh, in fact.
Wow.
Yes, I mean, and I'm sure that brings up memories for you, because that's where Mr. Rogers, of course, that was Fred Rogers from Mr.
Yep.
Rogers' Neighborhood, got his start. And this documentary is called Won't You Be My Neighbor? This is one of the most lauded movies of the year so far critically. I vote for the Broadcast Film Critics Association Award. I know already that the focus of the campaign for the studio is not only for Best Documentary, but for Best Picture. And I really do think it's one of the best pictures of the year. It's basically, you know, this fascinating look at the life and legacy of Fred Rogers. And he really was a wonderful man.
He was. And his, it seems like, I mean, today where we are with polarization, with divisiveness, we, you know, we tend to focus on what differentiates us instead of what unites us as Americans. And it just seems like his message is more vital now, more welcome now, and more needed now than ever.
Oh, that's exactly right. And you do get that feeling. And actually, you know, they interview so many different people, his wife, his sons, colleagues, friends. And that's sort of the conclusion that they come to because, again, sadly, we lost him 15 years ago. He was only 74 years old. But, you know, for this documentary, Morgan Neville, who won an Oscar for a wonderful documentary called 20 Feet from Stardom, did this. That is encapsulated at the end. It's like the world is divided, and the U.S. is divided. But you don't ever see that in his message, in his TV show, that message of kindness, that message of love, that message of compassion from people all over, of all walks of life. And that's what's so wonderful about the picture.
And I would imagine this is not rated R.
No, it is not. You know, this is a sort of movie that, you know, sadly, because Mr. Rogers, you know, it does still run in reruns, I believe, on PBS, but obviously not a lot of kids have grown up with it. But this is a movie, honestly, Paul, I mean, obviously we're familiar with Mr. Rogers. I think that you should show this movie to your kids. I think this is a very important family movie. You can learn so much in this hour and a half documentary. Again, this remarkable, extraordinary documentary about this man. It really, honestly, Paul, is one of the best films I've seen in a long, long time.
But again, right now it's available via video, so you can buy a Blu-ray.
And you can get it on streaming services, you know, Amazon, iTunes, whatever. Yeah. So, but it is on shelves this week. I mean, so if you store shelves, if you want to purchase a copy. And believe me, I mean, this is one of those films that I think is definitely worth owning. The sort of picture you could take out and remind yourself again of the wonderful message and legacy of Mr. Rogers.
Well, one of our listeners concurs the Mr. Rogers movie was a good movie, Paul.
Oh, it's a terrific movie. And I have to quickly note that in 2019, they're going to be making a dramatic look at Fred Rogers' life, starring none other than Tom Hanks as
really?
Fred Rogers.
All right, well, that kind of that works.
Fred Rogers.
That works. I mean, Hanks has that guy next door, all-American, good guy vibe, right?
Right, absolutely he does. So it'll be interesting to see what he encapsulates here, because not only do you get a good look at Fred Rogers as the guy on the air, but you get a good look at him behind the scenes. And, you know, you're going to discover things that you don't know about him that are going to make you love him even more.
Tim Lammers, thank you for scaring us and offering us some hope, too. We certainly appreciate that. You have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. We'll talk with you next week.
You bet. Tim Lammers' movie review brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. When we come back, more with Mark Anderson. Want to talk flying, want to talk aviation, and maybe a little beer. Because you can't. Doctor says I'm not getting enough good beer. We'll be back with more on CCO. Paul Douglas joining you. Happy Friday. Jordana is off today. Her son Maddox is having his bar mitzvah tomorrow in Wisconsin. And man, am I happy the weather's going to cooperate for that. Or I'd never hear the end of it for years.
It rained in his bar mitzvah.
That would be very bad. Jor, congratulations to you and your family, your extended family, and to Maddox. You've raised an amazing young man, and very happy for you and for him. And man, am I happy. The weather gods will shine down on us all tomorrow and Sunday. I'm joined by Mark Anderson, proprietor of Goldam Brewery up in Nisswa, which is one of my favorite places to loiter. Like hanging out there. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Paul.
So I don't want to delve too deep into the political malaise we find ourselves in right now. These are interesting times. Monday we're going to be spending considerable time on the question, should that anonymous source who wrote the op-ed, the editorial to the New York Times, should that person come forward? Is it a national security threat? President Trump has instructed Attorney General Jeff Sessions to launch an investigation into that. It's a problem if you don't know who to trust and, you know, what's going to wind up necessarily in the media, although the media is supposed to be one of the checks and balances. So you were in politics at a state level, a representative, District 9A, for what, 4 years?
Yes, sir.
What do you make of what's going on right now?
It's still just a battle. There's a lot of things that are happening in Washington and even in the state and local level here that a lot of it is just blown out of proportion. And it's for political advantage, and it really doesn't do the public service a lot of good.
Well, and again, bad news is better for ratings, right? I mean, you can't go on the, I guess you could go on the air and list all the good things that are going on. But well, I don't know. It just seems the polarization, I wonder if it can get worse, and then it gets worse. And I'm just wondering what's going to kind of bring things back into the center. Not the center, but what is going to calm things down?
I think as a whole, I believe in my heart that people are fed up. And people are fed up with both sides. And so that kind of puts both entities on the table, that they have things that they have to correct. And to fail to take that into consideration is just part of the problem. Everybody says, well, there's problems out there, but my side's good. Actually, no, both sides have some serious issues. Even here in Minnesota, I spent 4 years in there, and I brought a little different perspective to the table. I'm a professional pilot, and I'm a businessman. I have never taken a political science class in my life. And to me, that's not a qualification that is a big part of experience that somebody says that they should have to bring to the table. Just being in business and understanding how to make a payroll, to me, gives you a little better perspective of how to run the government.
And you were there for 4 years. You got out. You did your time. You served the state. You served your district. You served your constituents. And then you went back to normal life. I just wonder sometimes if the founding fathers envisioned career politicians. And I don't know. It seems like we're doing things to favor our party versus things that maybe favor Americans in general.
You are absolutely right. That's how a lot of the stuff is done. It's party, 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 right down to the T. And for people to come outside of that box is really hard because the parties in them at themselves are very controlling. So. One thing that I could see that would help a lot of new legislation is if we could overcome this whole omnibus bill problem that we have here in Minnesota. Minnesota's got Article 4, Section 17 that says, well, it's a single subject rule, but unfortunately we keep coming up with these omnibus bills and hiding things in there, and that's where we cause a lot of problems.
All right, I want to shift gears. Aviation, you are a professional pilot. My wife met you during a fear of flying class. Lori, scared to death of turbulence to the point where she would grab my hand and squeeze it when we hit any kind of turbulence. And I said, honey, you don't scream when we hit a pothole on the highway. These are potholes in the air. But she went through this course that Northwest Airlines offered, and you were the pilot on that, you know, and also the final exam, the flight to Fargo and back, and you helped her really overcome her fear, so thank you.
That was really a lot of fun. I remember when Lori took the class because it just happened that CCO did a news story about that, and she just happened to be not one of the selected people, but she was on camera a little bit talking about her fears of that. But it's definitely known that there's a good percentage of every single flight out there that people have anxieties to fly. And you've hit upon one of them, and that is the turbulence. Despite the fact that turbulence does not bring airplanes out of the sky. These airplanes are built to handle that type of rough air. It's uncomfortable just for your stomach. People have asked me, well, Mark, do you feel unsafe in the turbulence? I say, you know, I'm not really, I don't feel unsafe. I just, you know, the one thing I fear is spilling hot coffee on me. But because the airplane itself does a really fantastic job doing.
And we should point out, I think I saw the statistic today, over the last 70 years, flying has become 2,700% safer. Back in 2016, the odds of dying in an airplane accident, 0.00025%. But again, it's much more dangerous just driving downtown than it is getting into an airline.
Oh, absolutely. If I could fly from downtown out to Wayzata, I have to go to the James J. Hill Days.
That's right.
This afternoon, right after here, after this show. But if I could fly out there, if anybody's got a helicopter that could land here at the Twins Stadium and fly me out there, I'd really appreciate it because I feel safer doing that than being on 394 westbound.
Now, what are the things that do concern you? Obviously, you try to avoid thunderstorms, right, at takeoff and landing, and you can veer around. You can fly around these buildups, these thunderheads that look like mushroom clouds. Have you ever had a close encounter?
Not really. The problem that people have is that an airplane can be inside of a cloud, but it's not. It's just a cloud layer. But they're not actually in the thunderstorm itself, and there'll be a flash of lightning that's coming from 10 miles away. But since you can't see it, people think, well, geez, I'm in the storm. But you're really not. Pilots don't fly through storms. You can come up pretty close to some of them, especially up at high altitudes in the late afternoon, and they absolutely look beautiful. But if you look closely up there, it looks just like a boiling pot of water. Most pilots would know better to even get close and or even to fly in there. That would just... No, it's not a good thing.
But I envy you because you're up there. It's like you've got an Easy Boy recliner, and you're sitting up there, and you've got this amazing panorama. And I've seen some of the photos that you've shared, and, man, you're up in the weather, and I admire you for having that vantage point, that perspective on the weather. What about icing, fog? Some of those other intangibles, those are all things you have to be, just like a farmer, you have to know the weather. If you're a pilot, you have to be weather savvy, right?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, most pilots have had a lot of training. Matter of fact, I went to University of North Dakota, and it was required that I took a lot of meteorology courses, so I'm right behind you. I almost have a minor in meteorology. But, you know, as far as the icing, it's just a known fact. You get icing, maybe people don't even know this, but in the summertime, you can still get icing up at altitude. And wintertime up here, of course, you're going to get that down low. Fog, it can be a challenge, but as long as you're flying procedures, you know, a lot of times you can take the weather down for just even general aviation airplanes down to a half-mile visibility and 200-foot ceiling. And is it still safe? Absolutely. It's actually kind of fun. I think most pilots will agree that every time you break out of the clouds at 200 feet and you see those strobe lights in front of you sequencing you right to the runway, it's very rewarding, and to me it's very relaxing.
Well, man, you got a lot going on between the brewery, between Goldam Brewery and commercial flying and corporate flying. Tell us about the event this evening in Wayzata.
Well, tonight is the James J. Hill Days out there. It's a three-day event, and there's actually, this is where I like to, my favorite part is the Rails and Ales. It's a little a ticket-driven event where there's 25 breweries and wineries out there that are sampling beers. And then tonight's entertainment is Johnny Lang, and tomorrow night's Toby Keith. And all
wow.
This, the beer tasting tonight is actually happening in the parking lot right across from Wayzata Brew Works out there, which is the local brew company. And it's actually a really fun event tonight. It's there's live music, and this all starts before Johnny Lang.
And you're friends with other brewers? I mean, I know it's competitive, but you guys are kind of frenemies?
It actually is a big camaraderie to see everybody. I've already talked to some of the brewers that are out there before I even came in here today. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, I wish you the best continued success, and thanks for stopping by to keep me company.
I really appreciate it. This is a lot of fun. You can't beat this type of weather.
I needed some adult supervision, so thank you, Mark.
Anything I can do to help.
Give my best to Barb.
Thank you.
All right. Little Phil Collins to serenade you. I guess that was back in the Genesis days. Mark, listen, you're still here, and thank you for sticking around.
Welcome.
And keeping an eye on me. And by the way, the Scotch Ale tastes amazing. Thank you for that.
It's an afternoon delight.
I predicted a shower of Scotch Ale in that cup right there. You know, many of us fly. I know you fly, what, Citations and King Airs corporately, but you still fly commercial. What steps do you take to lessen some of the pain and anxiety when you have to fly commercial?
Well, here's something that the listeners could really take advantage of when it comes to flying, especially longer flights, this thing called jet lag. two things that can help that people don't think about. One is noise fatigue. And that's, you know, a lot of people will stop and pick up these noise-canceling headsets. You actually don't even need to invest in anything like that. Just those little foam earbuds to stick in your ears. When they start the engines till the time they shut the engines off, just leave those in. You can still hear things going on around you, but it definitely dampens the fatigue on there. And the other thing
you
is,
get fatigued from just the noise, the background noise?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people put these things in when they're mowing their lawn or running their chainsaw. But just even on an airplane flight, it's amazing how much more refreshed you will feel when you land and when you take these out. The other thing is drink a lot of water. People
right.
like to have their beer and cocktails and coffee, but you can do that. But still, if you can drink a bottle of water every hour or every 2 hours that you are in the air, that's the other side, is that the system in the airplane, the pressurization in the environmental system is just sucking out all the water,
it's
the
so
moisture.
Dry.
It's so dry.
Super dry.
It's very, very dry.
What about melatonin? And I've heard, you know, certain, if you take certain things, that you can get over the jet lag faster. And any truth to that?
I don't know anything of that. My wife has trained me to say, you know, show me the data. We can all talk about it, but show me the data.
Yeah, boy, I wish more people would feel that way. Show me the data. Show me the evidence. Yeah. Any other words of wisdom when it comes to aviation or beer or starting a company?
Well, there's one other thing that I can put out there, and this is something that your wife, Lori, would remember from class. When you do hit turbulence, what you can do is take your arms and your hands off of the armrests. Grab a book, and so you're not clamped down to the seat.
Really? And that makes
a
difference?
And then with your feet underneath the person's chair in front of you without kicking their butt. But just we used to call this the Liz shuffle. Liz, she knows who she is. But we named it after her. But it's just shuffling your feet up and down underneath the seat in front of you. And it allows your body to flow with the turbulence. So you're not connected to the airplane. And that's something that you're very inclined to do naturally when you're on a boat. But when you're on an airplane, you want to cling. You just want to grab that airplane. Like, oh, my gosh. And see, what the problem is that when you grab the armrest, you're really not holding the airplane in the air.
So pretend you're on a ride at Valley Fair.
Exactly. And have a beer.
Mark Anderson, Gold Dam Brewery. Have a great evening, sir. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back with more on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.